the Business of Sports.com podcast. As always, my name is Russell Scabetti, and if you're listening to this now, you've hopefully visited my sports business blog, thebusinessofsports.com. My goal for the site was to create a valuable resource filled with news, opinions, and discussion for people working in the sports industry or those interested in learning more about it. One of the ways I can achieve this goal is to bring on knowledgeable guests from different areas of the industry and let them share some of their expertise with you. Today I had the chance to talk with someone who's very involved in the social media side of sports, particularly via Twitter. Hopefully you'll find the interview interesting and informative, so let's get right to it. I would like to thank my guest on today's podcast, Jim DiLorenzo, who is the VP for Octagon Digital. Jim, thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Let's start off. Tell me just a bit about yourself, your background, and a bit about what Octagon Digital does.
Sure. So as far as my background, I actually started out as a lawyer representing technology companies and IP-related issues or handling IP-related issues. One of my first clients was Napster, and this was the original Napster. We were part of the group of attorneys trying to defend them when they were first becoming popular and sort of touring around the country with Sean Fanning, going to different events with him. After that, I moved over to AOL, again on the legal side, handling all the deals for their AOL mobile and instant messaging divisions. From there, jumped over and worked at the RAAA for a brief period of time, doing business and legal affairs issues there, and then jumped to the other side, which I find more appealing, working as the head of BD for a company called Cloud, which was an online music service provider that had a Facebook application and basically tried to develop applications among the different social networks. After Cloud was sold to a company called BuzzNet out on the out in LA, we actually I looked around and deciding whether or not I was going to move to LA. Saw the opportunity here at Octagon and jumped over here about a year ago. And at Octagon, I've been asked to stand up their digital business, which really involves two different main areas of responsibility. One is we try and find new digital marketing opportunities for athletes. We represent about 800 athletes or so worldwide, including guys like Michael Phelps and Chris Paul. The other side of the job here for me is to develop standalone consumer-facing properties, obviously focused on the sports vertical, the first of which is Twackle, which I'm sure we'll discuss at some point. But those are the two main things that that take up the majority of my time here.
Great. Twackle was probably one of the things I wanted to kind of jump right into. I know it's the latest thing that you've been working on and Octagon Digital has put out. I've written a little bit about it on my blog, and I know people are discovering it on Twitter. But why don't you delve into it a little bit more for people who are unfamiliar with it?
Sure. So to take a step back, I guess, we here within Octagon Digital, we were trying to scope out what we thought our first product was going to be, and this was towards the end of last year. And looking at the landscape, I realized pretty quickly, you know, it wasn't going to be possible for us to try and compete against the big guys that are out there by developing a site focused on the development of content. Even though we have these 800 athletes that we represent, it's still, you know, going up against the ESPN.coms and SI.coms of the world. That wasn't an area that I wanted to get into. So instead, we started to focus on sports communication channels and developing a communication channel. So when you look at Twitter, that seemed like the perfect opportunity because you have just mountains of sports-related data and content flowing through Twitter. Everything from the fan who's out there doing a live tweeting from a particular game that he might be attending to an athlete, an official athlete's Twitter account or an official team account to a lot of mainstream media organizations like the New York Times, for example, that have decided to really jump on board the Twitter bandwagon and use it as a mechanism to get the content on their websites out to their readers. So the problem, though, is even though I love Twitter, one of the issues that we saw was it was pretty difficult for a sports fan to navigate through Twitter and all the data that was out there and find the information that was relevant to them depending on who their favorite team or league or player was. So what we did with Twackle, was essentially to suck all of that data into our back end, look at all these different Twitter messages in real time, and then divide them up based on whether they relate, you know, the sports team or league or player or event that they relate to, and put it in our own front end at twackle.com, where users can easily navigate through all these messages that we present to them in the form of feeds, and then log in using their Twitter credentials. Once you get that native Twitter integration, they can reply to any message they see. Again, that's coming from Twitter, but they can reply to it through twackle.com, and because of that integration, if they reply to it, it gets pushed out not only through the twackle.com front end, but also through their Twitter stream as well.
Great. So this is an alternative rather than using a traditional Twitter application or the Twitter website itself. If you know you want to go and look for sports content and get into some sports dialogues, you can go right to Twackle, find a particular sport or a particular page on Twackle for that sport or team, and jump right into that particular content.
Exactly. So I'll give you a use case. So I'm from the New York area, so I'm a New York Jets fan, even though they continue to break my heart every year. So rather than do a search on search.twitter.com for the messages going on right now about the Jets, I can go to Twackle and I can go to our New York Jets feed. I can set that feed as one of my favorites. I can then go to the New York Times, the New York Daily News Jets feed, and set that as another one of my favorites, and maybe find a couple other different feeds on Twackle that relate to the Jets. Now, when I log into Twackle, again, using my Twitter credentials, I can go to a section we have set up called My Twackle, and when I go there, I'll see these different feeds that I've set as my favorite, so I don't have to go and search for either on Twitter or on Twackle anymore. They're all right there for me, and in real time, we're sucking up any new messages that are coming in related to the Jets or that are being pushed out through the New York Daily News Jets feed, and it's all right there and very convenient for me to view, as well as reply back to any of those messages or just add to that feed with some new information of my own.
Yeah, interesting. One of the thoughts I had in using and looking at Twackle, and one of the reasons Twitter is so popular is because of the easy integration with mobile devices, whether it's an iPhone or a BlackBerry. Do you see a natural next step for Twackle to evolve into the mobile landscape?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because actually I was spent a good portion of the day today working with the people here within our group and scoping out the way that we're going to develop a mobile version of Twackle, and I think that clearly is the next step in what we need to do. And because of the sort of modular way that we've built the back end, it actually shouldn't be that difficult for us to do. And you know, it's something that we're putting on our roadmap, and I think we'll be able to push that out in the relatively near future. You know, I don't think it's going to take too long for us to do, but certainly that's an area that we need to go to. I mean, if you're at a ball game, it would be great to be able to pull up, you know, mobile Twackle and be able to contribute to, if I'm at a Yankees game, the Yankees feed. You know, you can also even now, if you wanted to, send any message through Twitter and just include it in it, hash Twackle, and that'll put it into our system and get it into some of our different feeds. But by having sort of a fully integrated mobile application, I think it'll make the user experience that much better and make it that much easier for people who are at a game or at some event to be able to add to the content that's already on Twitter about that game or event.
No, I completely agree. It's one of the first things that came to mind. Just seems like a natural extension, and it just fits the Twitter audience well.
Sure. I mean, that's sort of the use case, right? Is people who are using Twitter expect to be able to use it with their mobile device. So, you know, while I think that right now we wanted to launch it through more of a .com scenario, we definitely had in our plans even from the beginning, and this is sort of why we developed the back end the way we did, the possibility of moving it to a mobile platform as well.
All right. Now, in putting this together, I imagine that you personally have looked at and sifted through a lot of sports content on Twitter. So I wanted to know what you thought of Twitter as a marketing channel for sports teams and organizations, and maybe tell me about some teams or companies that you think are doing it right.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like I spend a ton of time looking through Twitter feeds and Twackle feeds basically all day long. I personally think it's a great way of teams and players to interact with their fans more so than other alternatives, you know, the alternatives that are out there. And the reason I think that is that right now when you look at it, if you're an athlete, it's pretty difficult as a professional athlete to be able to have a blog, which is basically the alternative, right, to communicate with your fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to have a blog that you update on a regular basis because you're a professional athlete. You're spending your time practicing, working out, and playing the games, and for the most part, you have these long, grueling seasons, and the idea when you're, you know, 7 or 8 games into the NFL season of sitting down and writing a blog is not that appealing to most athletes. Whereas when it comes to Twitter, the idea of being able to send a quick 140-character or less message, I think that fits into their lifestyles a little bit more. You know, even beyond that, when you have an athlete sitting down 2 days after a game to write about that game, or there was a professional blogger blogging about the game as it was going on, you know, the athlete's at a disadvantage. But when you're when an athlete's on Twitter, or when a professional sports team is using has adopted Twitter, they can send messages out about things that are happening behind the scenes in the locker room during the game as they're happening, and that kind of immediacy is something that I think that a blogger, no matter how into a team they may be, just can't match. You know, when you have an athlete saying, "Don't worry, I only tweaked my ankle, getting it wrapped up, I'll be fine." That level of immediacy, I think, makes that message so much more compelling than a blog, which is one of the reasons why I think athletes will really start to adopt this as a way for them to communicate better with their fans.
And we've already seen that, whether it's Shaq, who has some ridiculous number of followers, to now Steve Nash is out there, and Jason Richardson, and Chris Bosh, and when Twitter is getting mentioned on PTI for athletes, you know, doing it during games, I think it started to hit enough of the mainstream where people realize that this is powerful content, and people are really seeking it out.
Yeah, I agree with you, and you know, when you look at Shaq and what the Phoenix Suns are just doing in general, and Amy Martin with the Suns, you know, I mean, they went full steam ahead with adopting Twitter and using it as a mechanism to communicate with their fans, and I think people are loving it again just because of the sense of intimacy and immediacy with using Twitter as a channel. You just don't get with blogs or other forms of communication. So you know, the fact that you have 7 or 8 Suns employees using Twitter, and you have 3 different official players on the Suns using Twitter, and Shaq walking around malls in Arizona and sending out Twitter messages to people saying, "Hey, you know, first two people to come up and tell me that you saw this message on Twitter, get 2 free tickets to the game tonight." That's just pretty cool, and it's the kind of stuff that, you know, people see that going on, and you know, that people obviously are going to start retweeting about that just because everybody's so excited that Shaq is adopting this technology.
I think the marketing and PR potential, and even a sales potential, you know, driving ticket sales to special offers to Twitter, I think there's so much potential in this. And the other thing I like about it is that there's no set formula on how to do it. You can be creative. Like, I completely agree with you with the Phoenix Suns being able to get all their employees involved, letting them each have their own personality there, but it still all ties back to the Phoenix Suns brand. You don't have to necessarily go that far. You can still have 1 or 2 official accounts, and you can still give them personality. Or you can have an athlete and an official, or a president, or a marketing director. There's so many different approaches you can take, but as long as you go about it via an interactive and engaging way, people are going to eat it up.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, I mean, the thing is, we're still early in the stages here, so you know, we're seeing more and more teams come online every week with their own official Twitter feed. You know, again, I think what the Suns are doing is a lot of other teams are looking at that and saying, "Hey, we can do the same thing," obviously, and they're starting to adopt it, but every week we see more teams doing that. We see more traditional media outlets jumping onto Twitter and using it as another channel. So we really are at sort of beginning stages here, and there really aren't that many set rules to how to do this. So I agree with you. I think that as we continue on, I think you're going to see a lot of people or a lot of different teams and players continue to jump on Twitter. And, you know, what works for Shaq may not work for another player, but that other player may find some other way to use Twitter to their advantage. And I think it's not just the players and teams and these different media outlets. You also have the sponsors jumping in as well, right? I mean, so I know that Prince Tennis has their own official Twitter feed, and it's not just the brands like Starbucks. You have a lot of different brands like Brand Jordan for Nike is jumping on it. So there are different sports-related brands out there that are seizing on Twitter and saying, you know, we can use this as a way to better interact with our consumers. And once they start figuring out how to do that in line or, you know, with the different athletes and teams that are doing it, now you have more of an integrated approach between everybody involved in sports, and I think that's when it becomes pretty powerful.
Well, one of the ways that I personally use Twitter, clearly, is to promote my blog, but also knowing that I was going to get talk to you today, I reached out and tried to ask for some interview questions, and I've got two good ones right here that I'd like to ask you. The first one's from Jason Peck, who's also another sports business blogger. He asks, in the monetization plan for Twackle, what types of advertisers and companies do you think Twackle will appeal to?
Well, you know, we're still early on in our development here, so we haven't nailed down exactly what the monetization is going to look like. I mean, I think that, you know, there's a couple different opportunities for us and how we could eventually monetize it. But, you know, I think that I don't see any reason why Twackle wouldn't appeal to the different brands that are out there that feel as though it's important for them to have a connection with sports. So not saying that they would necessarily want to do it, but you see Sprint obviously getting behind the NFL. If Sprint's trying to get, you know, value that relationship with the NFL and is trying to appeal to NFL fans with their NFL Mobile Live product, I don't see why the Sprint of the world wouldn't look at Twackle as, again, just another channel saying, okay, we know that you have a lot of sports fans here, and this is people are having conversations about sports, and there may be a way for us to integrate our brand into this in a way that's not offensive to those users, but still is aligning that particular brand with whether it's sports in general or a particular team or a particular league.
Do you think one of the things I've noticed on the sponsor side is that some companies more than others are much more willing to play in the social media landscape. Do you think since Twackle is so based around Twitter that some companies might be afraid to be out there in the social media world?
I'm sure that's something that that's going to come up. And yeah, I mean, it's not the same situation as, say, you know, I've heard some brands talk before about being a little bit nervous about jumping onto YouTube, for example, just because they're not sure of exactly what kind of content their brand is going to be associated with. I don't think it's exactly the same kind of thing. I mean, the conversations here, while they could be wide-ranging, I think are going to be, for the most part, about sports. So it's somewhat more narrow than jumping onto a more broad type of social networking platform. But of course, I mean, you're going to always have brands that are not as adopting of the social media tools that are out there and may get scared off or a little nervous about the fact that you have content coming in from users that you can't completely control. But I think that as time goes on, that sort of hesitation is going to continue to decrease because you're just naturally going to have brands looking at this as more of an opportunity than something they should be running away from. And that's when you see, you know, there was an article about this either yesterday or today with Skittles using it as a way to, using Twitter as a way to draw in all the different comments on Twitter about Skittles and then push that out onto their website, which it is sort of the type of functionality that we have with Twackle, right, to a limited degree. But capturing that conversation, I mean, the way I look at it is people are having these conversations on Twitter anyway, right? I mean, they're having the conversations about Skittles or whatever other brand there might be or Starbucks on Twitter. You might as well take that conversation and put it on your website, and that way you can add to it and at least see what people are, how people are discussing your brand. If nothing else, it gives you some insight into what people might be thinking.
No, absolutely. I completely agree. I have one more question from a Twitter follower, from Steven Spiewak. He asks, which sport is most likely to grow using Twackle, or help Twackle grow, and is there any application to high school sports?
That's a good question. Well, a couple things there. One, we've already had a couple different professional sports teams reach out to us, and we've been in discussions with, about creating mini versions of Twackle for their official team sites. So it would be, you know, you would have basically Twackle designed for their team site, so it integrates in there, and the conversation, though, would be more limited than all the different, you know, 500-plus feeds that we have on Twackle. It would just be the feeds related to that particular team, so maybe the league that they're in, conversations about that team and their players, and then any official Twitter accounts that they may have. So, you know, in that sense, you know, that obviously forms a nice partnership between us and a team, where I think we help each other's presence grow, and that team is able to have that compelling content on their site, and that obviously helps us grow as well. From more of a high-level view at different sports, I mean, I've actually noticed MMA is very popular on Twitter. NASCAR is very popular on Twitter. I mean, it seems almost as though, you know, something like MMA, that to the extent that there's not as much mainstream media coverage of MMA right now, people are going to talk about it, right? And they want to find information. So an easy way for them to do that is on Twitter. So they just move the conversation there. So we're starting to bump up our coverage of MMA, because we think that when people see, all right, it's easier for me to go to Twackle to find all the different MMA information that's out there, as opposed to have to search through all the Twitter data that I might find on search.twitter.com, that will help Twackle grow. Now, the same way, I think it helps MMA grow, because you make it easier for people who are MMA fans, or maybe new MMA fans, to find more content and more information about it.
Okay, and the high school sports angle?
Yeah, on the high school sports, you know, we haven't actually scoped something like that out. I mean, I think certainly, you know, to the extent that people start discussing high school sports on Twitter, that there's the opportunity for that. Now, there are certain things on our product roadmap that I think would enable people to have more private group conversations on Twackle about particular topics, which may include high school sports. So, you know, I don't know if we're going to have a section devoted to high school sports, just because I think that's not exactly core to what we do right now. We try and focus more on the college and the pro teams. But some of the functionality that we'll be rolling out over the next couple weeks, I think, will allow people or enable users to have conversations using Twackle about anything related to sports, including high school sports.
Interesting. We'll definitely have to keep an eye out for some of those new features. I like to close every podcast with one more question, and that is, give a lot of people who listen to this and read the blog might be, you know, interested in starting a career in sports or are still in the early stages. So give me one good career tip that they can use.
Well, you know, I may not be the best person to ask that, just because, you know, as you can see, I sort of took a winding path to get into sports. I mean, for me, it basically always, the way that I looked at it was, you know, what are two things that I really like to do? I mean, I love sports, and I love the internet. And every job that I had was basically, I viewed as a stepping stone to try and bring those two together. So when the opportunity here came up, I obviously jumped at it. But, you know, I don't think that there's any necessarily one right way to get into sports. I mean, there's people here with an Octagon who are former professional athletes. There's people who are attorneys and people that came straight from college and worked their way up through Octagon. It's really more about, I think, having a passion for it and sticking to it, and that'll allow you to get through, as opposed to saying, here's the way that you, or the path that you need to follow.
No, I think that's good advice. I mean, particularly for people, there are a lot of people who like to come from different backgrounds. I came from the IT world and kind of found a way in that met my skills and kind of opened up some doors. So it's good to hear from people who come from all different backgrounds, and that you can still get an opportunity in sports if you have that passion.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I think it's just one of those things where you just have to try and figure out, exactly what it is you like doing. I mean, you know, one of the things that I think about is that if I wasn't doing this job and I was at some other job, I would probably be spending at least part of the day surfing online looking at sports. So the fact that I now actually have to do that as part of my job, I mean, I think just that makes it that much more exciting for me. So it's really just trying to figure out, how do I combine sports, you know, because people talk about getting involved with sports, but that could be a broad range of jobs or issues, right? So it's not just enough to say, I want to be involved with sports. I think you have to try and figure out, what about sports is it that you want to do? Do you want to be on the marketing side, the new media side, an attorney involved with a sports marketing agency? So once you figure that out, I think that lets you at least have a little bit more of a sense as to how you can get to that end point of that sports job.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a few people are envious of one of your last statements about being paid to now search the internet for sports content. That sounds like a pretty good gig to me.
Well, it's not, I mean, it's not as good as some of the other guys. I mean, you know, I think of somebody like Tiger Woods. I mean, if he wasn't being paid to play golf, he'd probably be playing golf anyway. So I think I actually would prefer his job, but this is pretty cool too.
Very nice. Well, Jim, thank you for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it. And best of luck with Twackle.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the BusinessOfSports.com podcast. Please keep visiting the blog and leaving your comments. The more dialogue we can get going, the more valuable the site can be for all of the readers. Until next time, I'm Russell Scabetti from the BusinessOfSports.com.